Now, in middle of the night, at about 3 in the morning, it occurred to me that there's another Rashi that I'm going to need in order to explain some of these Rashis. So I put in another Rashi, and I put in parentheses, and a fifth. The basic shir is the tale of the four Rashis. The fifth one will illuminate and elucidate and clarify for us the other Rashis. And it begins in last week's Sedra. Vayichi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim 17 shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Vayichi yimei Yaakov. The days of Yaakov, shnei chayov, the years of his life, were 147 years. Rashi says, Vayichi Yaakov. And we talked about this Rashi last week. Loma parsha zus stuma, why is this parsha closed? And we explained last week that between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayichi, there is no pause, there's no separation, there is no space. But immediately after Vayigash begins Vayichi, and every other sedra in Torah, there is a space of a line between the end of a sedra to the beginning of the next. The next sedra begins on the following at the beginning of the following line, and here it's closed. This is called closed. Lom lefi shekivan shenifta Yaakov Avinu, because once Yaakov Avinu passed away, nistemu einehem velibam shel Yisrael, the eyes and the heart of Israel were closed. Mitzarat hashibud, because of the suffering of the enslavement. With the death of Yaakov, hitchilu l'shabdam, they began to enslave them. And enslave them means in subtle ways. They were Jews were no longer considered this special group of guests in this country. And we know, of course, that certainly in this sedra we see how everything deteriorates and falls apart completely. They are accused of being a fifth column. In the event that of war, they're going to side with the enemy against Egypt. There is something that we have to do about these people. There must be a final solution to the Jewish problem. That's what Paro said. But what I want to point out is, it says, Lefisha Nistamu, what was closed? What became closed? The eyes and the heart of the Jewish people. Precisely what that means, we don't really know yet. All right? Let's see this week's sedra. Number two. Moshe has grown up in the house of Pharaoh. Vayetze el Echav. He went out to his brothers, Vayar b'sivlotan, and he saw their suffering, their burdens. Vayar ish mitzri, make ish ivri me echov, and he saw an Egyptian who was striking a Hebrew, one of his brothers. Rashi says, Vayar b'sivlotan, he saw their burdens. Hey, does this sound a little familiar? Natan einav v'libo. He focused his eyes and his heart, lihyot meitzar aleim, to be distressed over them. To be distressed over them. Before the shir, Malka asked me then, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know who his brothers are? How did he know about them? So I told her what I had said a few weeks ago about Devorah, the nursemaid of Rivka in the house of Laban and Betuel. She's an agent in place. She is the one who is teaching this little Rivka all about Avram and Sarah and this invisible God who created the whole world. And still a hate. It's all taking place. Who was it that Miriam brought to the daughter of Paro? A Hebrew woman who is going to nurse this child. It was his mother, Yocheved. They may never have known that this was his real mother. But there she is with him in the palace. And what is she raising? She's raising a prince of Egypt. She's raising a Moshe Rabbeinu. So that when he goes out, he's heard about what's happening outside the palace. And he grows up and he goes out and he sees and he focuses and he concentrates. He wants to feel their pain. Same words are used. Natam einav v'libo. He focused his eyes and his heart. Is there any relationship between Rashi 2 and Rashi 1? Of course, I think yes. But let's go to Rashi number 3. Vayomer Hashem, God said, Ra'o ra'iti et oni ami. I have seen the suffering of my people, Hashem b'Mitzrayim, are in Egypt. This is when God is preparing to speak to Moshe. I have seen the suffering of my people in Egypt. Ve'etzakatan shamati, and I heard their cries. Mipnei nogsav, from before their taskmasters, because of their taskmasters. Kiyodati et machovav, for I know its pains. I know the pains of my people, Israel. Rashi says, you see, when you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what you do? You mix Rashis. The Rashi on Kiyodati et Machovav is Rashi 4. And then we'll get back. Kiyodati et Machovav. What does Rashi say? You see, where there's a number 7 and by 4. For I know its pains. The term knowing in this verse is applied to God. Kamo vayeda Elokim. And God knew. Klomar. Listen to what Rashi says. Ki samti lev. I focus my heart. Lid bonain. To understand. Vuladat et machovav. And to know his pain. Vulo he'elamti einai. And I did not hide my eyes. Vulo e'etom. And I shall not close my ears to their cry. God is reawakening in a sense. But watch the order of things. Which comes first? Eye or heart? When it's talking about God, it says, Ki samti lev lid bonein voladat et machovav velo helamti einai. First, God says that I have paid attention of the heart. I feel their pain. And v'lo he'elamti einai, I did not hide my eyes. V'lo e'etom oznaim, and my ears are not blocked from their cries. The fourth pasuk, Vayomer, Anochi Elokei Avicha. This is God speaking to Moshe, and he tells him, I'm the God of your father, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Vayaster Moshe Ponov, and Moshe hid his face, Ki Yoremi Habit El Olakim. And then the pasuk goes on to say, and that also got cut out over here, but it goes on to say, Vayeda Elokim. God says, I know what's happening to my people. I know what's happening to my people. Rashi says, Vayeda Elokim, and God knew, Nosan Aleim Lev, Velo Helim Einav Mehem. Do you hear that? Fourth Rashi. Again, heart and eyes. God says, I, Natan Aleim Lev, focus his heart upon them, did not hide his eyes from them. We have 4 Rashis. 3 in this week's Sedra, 1 in last week's Sedra, each talking about the heart and the eyes and the heart. With regard to Yaakov and Klal Yisrael, it says, with the beginning of the Shipud, Nistamu einehem v'livon, their eyes and their heart. Moshe goes out and he sees what's happening with his brothers. Nosan einav v'libo, his eyes and his heart. Whenever we talk about God, it works the other way around. Rashi says that God
first comes heart and second come eyes. What does this all mean? This is obvious. It's not some kind of a random decision by Rashi. Eyes, heart, achilik. You know, don't follow your heart and your eyes. There has to be meaning to it, and I have attempted to make some meaning out of it. And let's begin with most of what I have to say is going to be on the other side. Don't go there yet. Don't turn over yet. Don't do a thing yet. Nothing rash. If we're to take Rashi 1 and Rashi 2, the Rashi in Vayechi, where the Rashi talks about the darkness that begins to descend, and now the eyes and the heart of the Jewish people have become closed, shut. There's something that is weighing very heavily on them. 200 years later, less than 200 years later, Moshe walks out. And you know what happens? His eye and his heart is focused. Liot Meitzar Aleihem. He's going to... he feels distressed over them. He feels distressed. Some years ago, I'll be truthful. 1960 was how many years ago? Quite a few. 47. It took me a moment. I figured out it was 47. It might have been in 61 or 62. There was a dinner in Toronto. Some newcomer to Toronto was being honored by a local yeshiva that he was supporting. His name was Moshe Reichman, and the guest speaker then was Rav Schneier Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And in the course of his remarks, he quoted his father. In the name of his father, Chabarin, and I always like to quote this in Yiddish first, precisely as I heard it, and these words, they had a tremendous amount of meaning for me. And then we'll say it in English for anybody who, if there be anybody here who knoweth not Yiddish. Reb Schneier said in the name of his father, Rav Aaron, "Do Yeshua fin Ador, ken nor kumen dur der, was hat nicht übergewend dem Chet Ador." The salvation of a generation can only come through somebody who did not commit the sin or the error of that generation. And he completed the sentence by saying, "Dasa given Mordechai in Shushan Abira." That was Mordechai in Shushan. I assume, of course, what he means is that while everybody is bowing and bending before Haman, Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. Mordechai doesn't bend and doesn't bow. And as the Gemara had said, that earlier, 45 years earlier, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Jews bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar that was erected in the valley of Dura. Mordechai didn't. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't bow down. The salvation of a generation can only come through somebody who did not commit the error of the generation. I have a feeling in this first pasuk, when it says that Moshe went out amongst his brethren. The first blow, there is a blow that's going to be struck in this pasuk. He's going to strike the Mitzri. But the main blow that he strikes over here is Nosan Einav V'libo. He focused his eyes and his heart. The eyes and the heart of the Jewish people had been closed, had been dimmed, had been darkened since the death of Yaakov. When there's a first Jew who walks out there and he opens his eyes, that means a dramatic change is taking place. Ultimately, the process has begun. while there is nobody else in Mitzrayim who has yet been able to open up their eyes and their hearts. Jews had already reached a point in time where they were insensitive already to their own pain. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes about how unusual a human being is. You can become accustomed to the most terrible, terrible of circumstances. And he was talking indeed about Jews in the death camps. It's unbelievable what the human being is able to become accustomed to. And those who are not flexible enough, those who aren't able to be accustomed, were the first ones to die. All of a sudden, there's somebody whose eye and his eyes and his heart, they're opening up. And that opening up is going to be the beginning of the opening up of the eyes and the hearts of all of the Jewish people. And ultimately, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become the eye and the heart of the Jewish people. But we haven't yet explained what does eye represent and what does heart represent. So if you turn over, and don't get at all frustrated, I always warn you, don't get all unnerved. I'm going to base what I'm going to say on these Rashis. The two pieces here don't talk about the Rashi at all. Nobody talks about the Rashis. For that matter, I haven't seen anybody who talks about these four Rashis. Except we're talking about it right here. The top of the page is the work of a great Hasidic master, the Shemi Shmuel, the Sochetchov Rebbe, who his sefer on Chumash is called Shemi Shmuel. His name was Shmuel Bernstein. His father was the Avnei Nezer, the great posek at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. And that's number six. Number seven is Rav Soloveitchik. And here it is, great Chassid, great Misnagid, and I have a feeling that both of them are moving in a very similar direction. They use different kinds of terminology. But let's start with the Shemi Shmuel. And in the Shemi Shmuel, we're going to find other things that are significant. The Shemi Shmuel is talking about the first pasuk in Parashat Shemos. And here again, I really goofed. At the top of the page, I should have had the first pasuk in Parashat Shemos. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not easy either, you know. All right. Oh boy, am I leaving you with the impression that I burned the... I was thinking about something, and I couldn't sleep. It's all right, I'm fine. The first pasuk in Sefer Shmot is Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayma. These are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Et Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ish Ubeito Ba'u. Each man and his family came. What's bothering many of the Mefarshim, and what's bothering the Shemi Shmuel, and this is something that we always have to be conscious of, but don't ask me all the time, you know, because it takes a tremendous amount of effort. There's a switch in the pasuk from the name Yisrael to the name Yaakov. Eile Shemot B'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. With Yaakov, Ishu Beit Obo. What's the significance of moving from the name Yisrael to the name Yaakov? And very often it can be from the name Yaakov to the name Yisrael. We're only going to deal with what he deals with here. So just follow me. Halta, a finger of Platz, as I always told you. And just follow me, and we'll go through this reasonably quickly. V'nira od lomar, it also seems to me to say, Shashnei Hashemot, these two names, Yaakov and Yisrael, Magbilim, they correspond. L'shnei mine ritzui, to two kinds of ideas. That's how I'm translating it. Each one means something else. Shem Yisrael, he says, the name Yisrael refers to the intellect, the mind. Shem Yisrael, who mitzad ma'alat ha'secha, the name Yisrael, talks about the advantage and the talent of intellect. V'Yisrael, in Chassidic writing, Yisrael are the letters Li Rosh. Yisrael? Yisrael? The last letter followed by the first is Li, and then Shin Aleph Reish, Reish Aleph Shin, Li Rosh. That's what is said in Hasidic terminology. So that Yisrael represents the power of intellect. Kamosha Kosov, as it says, Bisvarim HaKadoshim, in the Holy Spirit. V'hainu, Shehashem Yisborach Omer al Yisrael, God says about Israel, Li Rosh. To me, their head is to me. They understand me. They see me. They acknowledge me. Intellectually, they know me. Hainu Shehaseichel Nirtza. The intellect of the Jewish people is accepted before God. V'shem Yaakov says the name Yaakov talks about feelings, emotions, desires. You may be getting the drift of what I'm going to do with this. That Yisrael represents intellect. Those are the eyes. Yaakov represents feeling. That's the lathe. Okay? Now I'm just telling you in advance exactly where I'm going and what I'm going to do with it. Why does Yaakov represent feelings? The same Yaakov mitzav malat shukat Yisrael shebelev, the desire in the heart of Israel. That's how they all become one unit. Because he's going to explain that the word Yaakov comes from the word Ekev. Ekev is the heel. The heel represents humility. The only way it's possible to have a united people is if we conduct ourselves with humility. If, as Ben Gurion said, he has 3 million prime ministers in this country, it's difficult to have unity. The unity of the Jewish people is dependent upon the idea that one is ready to humble himself before all of Klal Yisrael. That unites them. And you know what that accomplishes? That union brings to love between Jew and fellow Jew. So Yisrael represents intellect. Yaakov represents feelings. Further, V'hainu, Deshem Yaakov hu hachno. The name Yaakov means to be humbled. Bechinat Ekev, like the heel. Ubozeh shekol echot miYisrael machniat atzmo l'haklal. By virtue of the fact that each Jew humbles himself before the greater good of all of Israel. Kom Ramzal, as Chazal say, you know what the Jewish people are like? They're a shepsala. If a shepsala gets a clock on the hand, the whole body feels it. That's exactly what Jews are supposed to be like. If a Jew someplace in the world is in suffering or in pain, the body of the Jewish people throughout the world should feel it. Ninshalu Yisrael said, Israel are compared to a shepsala, a sheep. Ma says there, lokal rosho, seh gets a hit on the head, obechod meyevorov, or in any one of the parts of his body. V'chol evorov margishin, all of the organs of his body feel it. Kachen Yisrael. For seh, by feeling, this is the point that he's making, by feeling, by having, well, let's already call it a Yiddish hearts. If you have a Yiddish hearts, then we can create a sense of unity. We become a single people. The whole chukos Yisrael hein chukachos, then all of the desires of Israel are one. She bilti midas achno, without this character trait of humility, e efshar l'hitachet, there can't be unity. If everybody stands on his opinion, and it's a matter of principle, you understand, nothing personal, matter of principle, and then there's never going to be any unity. And everybody's desire is to be at the top. Everybody wants to be at the top. What was it? Last week they had in the paper that there are 5 members of Knesset in Meretz. And 4 of them were running for the head of the party. And then the 5th who wasn't, the 5th who He backed out of the race. Yossi Beilin backed out of the race. Understand? That's real unity, you know. Four members of Knesset, and all four want to be that. Wait till we get closer to elections of Halavai, so the Eibishter health and it should come to Mehechav Yameinu. Amen. There are going to be all sorts of great leaders of the Jewish people that are going to come out of the woodwork. Mamish, everybody's going to only be head of Kadima. Boy, they're going to fight around. It's a Zion Levitic. Okay. Unity can only be achieved through humility. And the unity that is achieved through humility brings to the Achdus, the Ahav of Klal Yisrael. That's what the name Yaakov says. So therefore Yisrael, I mean, this is a very fascinating difference between the two names. There are others, by the way. Other Mefarshim give all sorts of different interpretations of the meaning of the name Yisrael and the name Yaakov. But here the Shem Yishmul says, Yisrael is intellect, is mind, the ability to penetrate the secrets of this world, of creation. And Yaakov represents heart, ability to unite. Then he goes on to say that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were faced with an assault on their minds and an assault on their hearts. Mitzrayim was the crucible in which this people was going to be forged. What was the great test of Egypt? The great test of Egypt is that there is going to be an attack by a culture, both on their minds, on the intellect, an idolatrous, pagan, heathen culture. And here they are, surrounded by all of that. And then, of course, Mitzrayim was also a very immoral society. Absolutely immoral. Kol Dovar also was a mitzvah over there. As by the way, most pagan and heathen societies were precisely that. All sorts of promiscuous orgiastic activity was carried on all in the name of their deities. So that the assault on the Jewish people was an assault on the mind, and the mind is ayin. The eye sees. The eye penetrates. Feelings, this is all lave. So he goes on to say, "V'hinei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim ha'yutzrichim miruk le'ma'alatam." They had to go through a process of cleansing. "Ulu'umat shnei minei hamaylot ha'yu Yisrael mishubadim tachas yad paro v'tachas yad Mitzrayim." Now he says the following: the assault came in two parts, because there was a struggle between the Jewish people and Paro, and the people of Egypt. Paro represented the mind. Paro was the intellect. Mitzrayim, the masses of people, were the decaying, decrepit, evil society. Yitro, later on in Parshat Yitro, when he finally comes to Moshe out in the desert, he says, "Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, asher hitzul etchem miyad Mitzrayim umiyad Paro." Thank God that he saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim and the hand of Paro. Why the hand of Mitzrayim and the hand of Paro? Because those represented the two assaults, the two attacks, the two crises, a crisis of mind, a crisis of intellect, and a crisis of heart, of feeling, of conduct. So he says, "Kamo shama Yisro, Baruch Hashem." I'm going to the second column. "Asher hitzil etchem yad Mitzrayim umiyad Paro." Rashi said, "Mitzrayim, Uma Kosha, difficult people, Paro Melech Kosha, Paro, a king who's difficult." The enslavement of the Jewish people in Egypt was doubled. There were two dimensions. There were two dimensions of it. Now you understand already. I can let you in. That's how I learned the first Rashi. In Vayechi, when Yaakov is about to die, Nistmu Einehem V'Libam Shel Yisrael, the mind, the intellect of the Jewish people, and their hearts, their feelings, have all been overshadowed and darkened. And as I say, that's going to continue until the day that Moshe walks out and the beginning of the opening of the eyes and the opening of the heart. And that's why, so it means therefore that the enslavement in Egypt, or the challenge of Egypt, the crisis of Egypt, was double. It was a crisis of Egypt and a crisis of Paro. Because the king represents intellect. The king represents intellect. The king is the head of the people. What does head represent by the Jewish people? Yisrael, Li Rosh. Paro is the great intellect. Kerach HaRosh VaHaSeichel, the king is the head and the intellect. Le'umat HaGuf VaHalev, corresponding to the heart and the body. Valkein Malat HaSeichel Shebi Yisrael HaNikro B'Shem Yisrael Nidmar Katachet Yad Paro. That great ability of the Jewish people to think clearly was challenged and ultimately cleansed through Paro. Umaylos Hachuka Shebi Yisrael, desires, lusts, were cleansed through their confrontation with Egypt. And that's represented in the name Yaakov. And as I say, that represents Lev. V'hainu de paro hoye mechashev godel ubekor hatumav avedizorah hefil al asechus Yisrael. Paro was a great sorcerer, and he had all sorts of hidden powers of Avodah Zorah. He darkened the intellect of Israel. Umitzrayim b'sar chamodin b'sarum. The Gemara says about Mitzrayim that they are the flesh of donkeys. They were promiscuous. They were promiscuous. Moshchot Yisrael l'tshukos ros. They draw Klal Yisrael to evil feelings. Avul Yisrael nimtzu shleimim v'lo nimshichu b'sichlam achaparo. Yisrael, at the end of the day, they remained complete in their intellect and were not drawn after Paro. V'lo v'tshukasam achamitzchayim, and their desires they did not follow. They didn't follow Egypt. In the last piece, he's going to say, therefore we find, and I'm going to add a little bit to what he says. There are a lot of double terms. God says to Yaakov in Beersheba before he goes down to Mitzrayim, "Al tira midom Mitzrayim, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. Onochi eidim cho, I will go down with you. Onochi eelcho gam olo, eelcho, I will take you out. Gam olo, you will also go up." Double. Both Yaakov and Yosef say. Pokod yifkod Hashem Elokim etchem. Remember, God will remember you. I mean, what would have been wrong if we said Pokod Hashem etchem? God is going to remember you. Ki pokod pokadati. I remembered, and we just read a pasuk over here where God says Ro'o ro'iti, seen I have seen. Why the double terminology? So the Shem Yishmuel says, because Onochi Elcho Gamolo, I'm going to take you up, you're going to rise from the intellectual confrontation with Egypt, and you are going to arise from the confrontation with the lusts of Mitzrayim. Your eyes and your heart are going to emerge pure. Pakod Yivkod, God will remember your intellectual struggle, and God will remember your emotional struggle. God will remember the struggle against Paro and the struggle against Mitzrayim. God is going to take out of Mitzrayim Yisrael and Yaakov. So I take the Shem Yishmuel, and I say, well, now I understand first Rashi and second Rashi. First Rashi is talking about the mind, the eyes, and the heart are closed, that the, I would say most probably because the assault in the first instance was an assault on the intellect. And only after they had been a long time in Mitzrayim and were surrounded by all the evil of Mitzrayim did the assault come against the feelings and the heart of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out that day, and he takes a look and he sees they are fighting the battle. Remember, they're going to emerge from a Mitzrayim. They're going to emerge with a clear identity. They have not lost their identity in Mitzrayim. Have not lost their identity. All right, that's. I have not yet explained the two psukim that deal with God, where heart precedes eyes, intellect precedes feelings. I mean, I would say that on its simplest level, you know, why wait till the end when I might as well, I might very well forget what to say. I think that as far as the Rebbeinu Shem is concerned, when he prepares to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, when he says, Ro'o Ro'isi, I have seen the suffering of my people. Do you know how he presents himself to us? As Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. You know what I mean by Avinu Malkeinu? When God sees our suffering, the first thing is he emotes. I know their pain. I know their suffering. And it is after he feels the pain, then he's going to act like the Melech, who is going to move all opposition out of his way and take the people out. With regard to man, the Jewish people, Yaakov, the Jewish people, Moshe, it's mind before intellect. Mind before feelings. Ayin before lev. As far as God is concerned, Avinu Ovarachamon, Hashem Elokeinu, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is God's mercy and his compassion. Elokeinu is king, judge. As far as men is concerned, it's ayin, eye, and heart. But as far as God is concerned, Rashi is consistent in both cases. Nosan libo ve'enav. As he's to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, what functions is, if I can say it about the Rebbeinu, what functions is a Yiddish hearts. It's the heart of the Rebbeinu Shlenim that dictates what's going to take place from there on in and further. So now we come to the Chav. I always, you know, I always have this fear and trepidation. You know, when I take a great piece of Shem Yishmuel or a great shtickel of the Chav, you know, that I should do it well, you know, not, you know, be zeicher to transmit the words as they were said and as they were meant. The Chav talks about a machlokas in the Medrash. There's a machlokas in the Medrash, there's a pasuk that says, Hachochmo me'ayin timotzei. Where does wisdom come from? Where do you find wisdom? And it's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says that wisdom is in the heart. How do you like that? Wisdom is in the heart. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, wisdom, wait. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's in the head. Hachochma me'ayin timatzei. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says it's in the head. Rabbi Yeshua Omer believe. And then the Medrash goes on to say, you know, the truth is like Rabbi Yeshua. Understand that wisdom is in the heart. The Omer who says Hachochma believe diksiv, because it says v'nosato, you God gave simcha belibi, happiness into my heart. Vein simcha el hachochma. What is joy? Joy is wisdom. Shenema, chacham b'ni, v'sameach libi. If my son is wise, then I'm happy. Anyway, the Chav goes on to say that, of course, we have to understand that the fact is that wisdom is in the heart and also in the mind, and feelings are both in the heart and in the mind. The point that he wants to make is the following. There are two kinds. He's going to take it one step further. There are two kinds of wisdom. the feelings of the heart are also a form of wisdom. The wisdom of the head, he calls Chochmas HaRosh, the wisdom of the head. But you know what? You have to have a kluge hearts also. You have to have a wise heart. I think, isn't that what Shlomo HaMelech asked for? You know, a heart that's maven, lev, maven, a heart that understands, that understands. So there's Chochmas HaRosh and there's Chochmas HaLev. Chochma of the heart. All of the major strides forward in the ancient world were done by the Greeks, who had a tremendous amount of Chochmas HaRosh. Wisdom of the heart, they had it. And he lists all of them. Of the head. Good, you're listening. They always chat me, they always listen. It's so good. It's a pleasure, Greeks, Taka, had wisdom of the head. And he lists Democritus, who studied the atom, Pythagoras and Euclid, math, Archimedes with physics, Ptolemy with astronomy. They, what the great wisdom, of the Greeks, what I've been talking about, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, Frechnisht. I don't know what happened in the last 2,500 years. I don't know what happened to Greece. I don't have a clue what happened to Greece. But aside from Anthony Quinn, I don't know if they had a Gödel, and he most probably was an Italian. They didn't have a Gödel in 2,500 years. And the Jewish people, Torah warns Chochmas HaRosh, wisdom of the heart, of the head. Man has to study. Man has to study. Man has to ponder. Man has to think. Man has to know the secrets of creation, of the physical creation. Every bit of knowledge that we are able to amass makes God be seen by us even more than we ever said it before, saw him before. Even though he says, but let's not over-exaggerate, he says that he believes that anybody who can learn a Blat Gemara requires a greater degree of intense thought and concentration than many of the sciences, if not all of the sciences. But Torah, so therefore, Torah is the Chochmas HaRosh. Torah is the wisdom of the head of the Jewish people. We have a Chochmas HaRosh, and we don't in any way downgrade the Chochmas HaRosh of knowing the world. That's also a great mitzvah. But there's a difference between Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaLev. Chochmas HaRosh wants to differentiate between truth and falsehood. Emet v'sheker. Chochmas HaLev wants to differentiate and see clearly the differences between Tov and Ra, good and evil. Two different powers, two different talents. And here he says something that I tell you, when I see it, in all humility, you understand, we're talking about humility today. It was an idea that I expressed years ago here. The great, who was the first great Chocham of the head in this world? Avram Avinu. And you know what Avram Avinu, how often have we talked about the great discovery? He discovered God. In a world in which God had been forgotten, lost, nobody knew about him. Avram, by dint of his great genius, is the one who discovers the existence of God. It's an awesome, earth-shattering discovery that he shares with the rest of the world. But by the same token, you know what else Avram Avinu became? He became the genius of Chochmas HaLev. He became the genius of wisdom of the heart. He became the great Baal Chesed. The man who was overflowing with kindness. That's his greatness. His Chochmas HaRosh. You know, there are a lot of, we talked about it in the past. A lot of people can have Chesed Kaf, great heads, powerful intellect, and they can be the most miserable human beings. To be a genius, and yet to be a genius in goodness, That's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the real challenge, even the Rambam, who was the great intellect and who was the one who said that all of Torah is a matter of great intellect. All but what he talks about, the chokhmah of the wisdom of the heart. All the Nevi'im talk about the wisdom of the heart. You see, of course, where I'm going. Where I'm going, of course, is what does the eye represent? The eye is chokhmas harosh, the wisdom of the head. The heart is chokhmas ha-lev, the wisdom of the heart. Now here, we'll do a little bit reading in Rav Soloveitchik. Later on he says, this is not in this section over here, but he says that, you know, the modern man, his head is all messed up. His head is all messed up. Has all sorts of ideas going through it. So he says, if he would have the koyach, you know what he would do? Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we say Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibanu, and we clap on our hearts, you know what he would say? We should clap over here, Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibanu. What we did with the Yiddish cup, you understand? We've turned the Yiddish cup upside down. And a Yiddish cup doesn't think like a Jew. Doesn't think like a Jew. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every day you see it. And I'm controlling myself. Great self-control. Not to give all sorts of examples. I get upset. I'm not going to say it now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if my resolve will hold out for another 15 minutes. I'm not sure. I don't know. My heart says that I should let out my base hearts over here. But no, we're not going to do it. The Rav says that there are a number of differences between Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaLev. Wisdom of the head and wisdom of the heart. Where it's underlined, HaChochmas HaRosh Tone Be'ikir Le'inyanim Ma'asiyim V'Shimushiyim. The Chochma of the head is only interested in the utilitarian and the practical. What can I do with it? What does it mean for me? Does it have a tachlis? Do I benefit or don't I benefit from it? The intellectual mind works along those lines. He nechapeset bi'ikar tachlit v'toelet. It seeks mainly a goal, an objective, a benefit. He ne'emana la'adama le'davar kol zman shehi sivura she'tuchal le'natzlam. Oh boy, this is... She remains... The heart, the mind, remains faithful only as long as one feels that one has a benefit from it. He gives a very, very painful example. Very painful example. Nicht auf ins gesucht. Gives the example that the children, as far as long as their parents are young or they're robust and they're well, no, wonderful relationship. What happens when old age begins, nevach, and there's illness and there's heen and there's hair, and you know parents are getting in the way of their yuppie style of life, you know. We can't be burdened with them, so you know you just hustle them off to a Moshev Zakenim. Because as long as they were of benefit, okay. But you know, they're really getting in the way. You know, we have to go out tonight, we're going here, we're going there. I mean, who's going to... I mean, a very painful thing. He says, this is Chochmas HaRosh. Chochmas HaRosh has one criteria. The criteria is benefit. I get something out of it. There's something in it for me. Then it has value. It's not for me. It's not benefiting for me. It loses its value. In the second paragraph, Hakav ha'afyanei ha'sheni shebehevdel bein chochma shebarosh ubein chochma shebalev, the second characteristic that is a difference between wisdom of the head and wisdom of the heart is a direct result. It's the direct result of the first difference that we just said. Here it comes, becomes profound over here. It says, Chochma Sheberosh, the intellectual. Chochma Sheberosh Oser Ta'adam L'me'ein Navad Ruchani. What a term. Chochma Sarosh can turn a human being into a spiritual nomad. Because the intellect without the heart is very much universal in nature. The whole world. You know what happens with this whole world? You love everybody in the world. Every fashlugene cholaria. But not your own people. There's a wandering of the head. Because intellect is a very universal kind of thing. Oh boy, do we see this? Do we see this all over? Watch what the Chav says. A navad ruchani, a spiritual nomad. Shein lo bayit mishilo. He has no home of his own. Vishenu mesugalit kasher l'shum makom b'kesher shel kayama. And he never can find a bond with any place, an eternal bond with any place on the face of this earth. The whole earth, world is his oyster. He describes, later on he describes a conversation with a scientist who once asked the Chav that, you know, he's been all over the world and he spent a few months in Israel. And, you know, he went to study the land, went through it, and he says to the Rav, there's really nothing of any great value in Israel. There's nothing of any value there. There are no natural resources. Garnish for garnish. It's really, it's just something. You know what? Jews would be very wise if they would just give the whole thing to the Arabs. This is what the man says to the Rav. The Rav explains this is an example of a person who has no heart, he's all head, and as all head, he has no way of connecting with time and place. He's a man without a country. That's what great intellect, or for that matter, somebody who thinks he's a great intellect, don't necessarily think that everybody who talks or acts like a Geisa intellectual is a Geisa intellectual. Okay. In other words, don't let them cow you into thinking that, well, wow, this is a Geisa intellectual. And the Rav gives a beautiful example. If you take a look down, he gives an example from nature. You can't plant tropical plants. You can't plant tropical plants by the North Pole. That's all tropical plants are by the equator. And there are things that will grow in New York that won't grow at the equator. In nature, everything has a place. The intellectual may have no place at all. And he takes a Rashi in... I should have turned this into... A tale of six Rashis. And what I didn't tell you, the fifth Rashi, oh God. Okay, I'm racing against time. It says, you see, underlined, first column, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et Adam Of Ben Adama, God formed man, dust from the earth. Rashi is going to say two pshatim down here. And then we're going to have the second half of the Rashi down here. God formed man from the earth. Rashi says, he took earth from all four corners of the world, brought them all together, and he made man, so that wherever man may die, the earth will receive him for burial. In other words, if he would have only come from the earth of the equator, maybe the North Pole wouldn't be a place for him to be buried. There's going to be a second pshat in Rashi, and that's right across on the other side. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et Adam Of Ben Adama Dabaracha Natal Afaro Mimakom Shenema Ba Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli. He took the earth from which he made man, from under the Mizbeach on our Har Habayit, from the place that ultimately man receives forgiveness. The Chav says there are two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat in Rashi is talking about universal man, where his earth comes, the earth with which he's formed, comes from all over the world, and he's a man for all seasons, and he's a man for the whole world. Wherever he's going to be, that's wherever he dies, that's where we'll receive him. This is the man who has lost touch with feelings, has no feelings, because he's so... The whole world. But there's a second pshat in Rashi. That God created man from the earth, under the altar, under the Mizbeach and Har HaBayit, the place from which ultimately man will receive forgiveness and atonement. That's the man who has Chochmas HaLev, the wisdom of the heart. Without the wisdom of the heart, I'm going to go one step further. I think the Rav would say it, the intellectual, the Chochom HaRosh, may very well become an enemy of his own people. An enemy of his own people. He has no roots. No place means anything to him. Whole world. And in that whole world, Jews don't count for much. But then there's the one who has the Chochmas HaLev. Chochmas HaLev. What was it that was concealed from the Jewish people with the death of Yaakov? Nistmu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael. The eyes, the intellect, and the heart come under assault from Paro and Mitzrayim. And when Moshe walks out that great day, and he looks, so it says, Nasan Eina Velibo, he begins the process of freeing Klal Yisrael from the Shibur of Mitzrayim. His mind and his heart are working in unison like a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart. But when Rashi talks about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as I said earlier, there it's always Lev before Ayin. Because when God sees his people suffering, he functions as Hashem Elokim, Avinu Malkenu. He is moved, he's propelled by his heart. And therefore, he feels for them. And therefore, once he feels for them, Lo Alim Einayim Mekem, I'm not going to remove my eyes from them, and I'm not going to close up my ears, I'm going to listen. There was the fifth Rashi that I put in at about 3:30 in the morning. Turn over. About God, it says, I have one of the psukim here. God says, "Ki yodati et machovav." I know his pain. The other Rashi, the other pasuk also says, "Vayeda Elokim," and God knew. Rashi number 5 is the Rashi where God says to Avram, "Ki," you know that Rashi, Malka, you know that Rashi. In a shir 10 years ago, you reminded me that Rashi. I heard the tape. I heard Malka. "Ki yedativ," God says, because I know Avram that he is going to command his children after him to follow in the ways of God. Rashi says, do you know what yediyah means? Knowledge? Love. Love. Ki yedativ leman ashi yitzavez banav. Love is heart. When God says, I've seen the pain of my people, yadati et machovav, you know what's operating by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Ayidish hearts. And therefore Rashi says in both cases, Lave before Ayin. And Rashi goes on to say, it's an amazing Rashi. Rashi says, so why do you use the word no for love? Because he says, if you really love somebody, then you want to know them. And therefore, when it says, Vayeda Adam es Chava Ishto, Adam knew his wife Chava, this is not some kind of a euphemism, as though Torah is afraid to say, like what happened between Adam and Chava. Vayeda means that the essence of love is to know the other person fully, know what troubles them, know what bothers them, know what their feelings are, what their hopes are. Yediyah, yediyah. when God sees the pain of the Jewish people, Vayeda Elokim. And what's fascinating about Vayeda Elokim, Elokim is the shame that represents judgment, harshness. But once Vayeda, once he's full of love, even Elokim becomes the God of mercy and compassion. Four Rashis, and Rashi is precise in each case, absolutely precise. And I say I built this on the Shem Yishmuel and Rav Soloveitchik. Shem Yishmuel talks about Yisrael and Yaakov. Yisrael is Li Rosh, Yaakov is Ekev, Hachno, humility, Ava, Achva, unity of the Jewish people. And the Rav talks about Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaLev. That's it.